Planet Fitness has everything you need to start strong, so you can give everything you've got. From plate-loaded strength equipment and functional training areas to treadmills, stair climbers, and free weights. Our equipment is best in class, and our clubs are right around the corner, so you can make this your strongest year yet. Join the club today and save $28 or more when you join for $1 down, $15 a month. Cancel anytime. Deal ends Friday, January 9th. Are you coming? Planet Fitness. We're all strong on this planet. See club for details.
Nothing tastes as good as a cup of the hanging tea. Ah.
The views and opinion expressed in this podcast are those of the hosts and guests and do not necessarily reflect the views or positions of any entity or organizations.
You are listening to the podcast, Tea and Talk, presented to inform, educate, inspire, and encourage meaningful conversations on Bahamian arts and culture. My name is Robert Bain, dancer, teacher, choreographer, and someone who believes in the preservation of all things Bahamian. I am sitting down with persons of like mind to discuss the Bahamian perspective on the arts and the Bahamian way. Now, let's welcome our guest.
Alrighty, this is Robert Bain coming to you with another episode of Tea and Talk. Today is Tuesday. It's a beautiful day. It's not very hot, and it's actually a very good day. It's a pleasant day here in the Bahamas. Today is actually the 21st of March. Like I always say, March is actually marching on very quickly. When we started this podcast, we started it for one particular reason, and that reason is to establish a space for persons like myself in the arts to talk about things that are important to us, cultural things, artistic things, just basically to provide a space for artists like myself and my guests and persons of like mind. Today we have a special guest. All guests that come on Tea and Talk, they're special. And today we have Georgia Store Taylor from Georgia School of Dance and Theater in Freeport, Grand Bahama, my hometown. But before we get started, normally I like to share a cup of tea with my guests. I like to share a cup of tea with my guests, and today I decided that I will explore soursop. I got up today and I got some soursop leaves from a tree that I have in the back of the yard, you know, and they, you know, I like to actually share the information that I have about soursops and about the benefits of it, actually, and apparently it has some really interesting benefits, and some of the benefits they talk about is that it promotes healthy digestion. It prevents constipation. It contains anti-cartagen properties. I guess it fights cancer and stuff like that. It fights body inflammation. It stabilizes blood pressure. It helps prevent heart disease and fight against many kinds of bacteria. And it says it helps you sleep better. Now, let me just throw my disclaimer in there, right? I'm no doctor, so I'm not recommending anything to you. I'm not saying that this thing is going to work for you. Of course, everything affects people differently. So if you're going to use this stuff, make sure you check your doctor out first, okay? And the other thing I wanted to say is that the introduction of this podcast, the music in the background was done by a young man by the name of Jason Ferguson. They call him Ming. And it's his version of Junkanoo, his new version of Junkanoo. You can hear the thread of Junkanoo in the music, which I think is really, really amazing. So that's about it. We're having soursop and we have this beautiful lady. And we're actually, technology is amazing because we're on our Zoom thing. And then she's on the phone. So two things are happening at once. So this is amazing, and you can talk to somebody. The world has just gotten so small. But anyhow, yes. Georgia, welcome to Tea and Talk.
Thank you very much for having me, Mr. Bain.
Robert is fine.
Okay, Robert. Yes. Old school people, right?
Old school people.
Call them by the mister until they tell you it's okay to call them by the first.
Yeah, that's fine. Yeah. Yeah. Last time I saw you was in 2016 when you brought a group of dancers to Nassau when we brought the Ailey Company in, and they came and did the workshop. I was so happy to see. You had a number of them. And
yes, I did.
Yeah, and they did the Ailey workshop, and then the evening they went and they saw the show. And
right,
yeah, I'm sure they benefited from
it. Very good experience for them.
Absolutely. Well, Georgia, before we get started, one of the questions that I normally like to ask the guests. Well, first of all, tell me a little something about yourself. So, I mean, I know that you are a student of Ms. Bass.
Yes.
Tell me something about yourself. And then you moved down to my hometown, which is in Grand Bahama, which is in Freeport. Huh? Right?
Yes.
Tell me something about yourself, Georgia.
Okay. I'm a graduate of St. John's College, 1978 graduate. Mm-hmm. I attended the Bahamas Dance Theater, which is called now. It used to be Auxiliary of the Bahamas Dance Theater in Nassau, which was directed by Shirley Hall Bass. And we were also instructed by Sherry Pinder. I started at, I think I was 9 years old until I graduated from high school. And that is where I got my dance training. And honestly, it's something that I feel like I was always meant to be doing. But of course, you know, your parents direct you into different areas because they feel like dance wasn't a thing back in the day when I was coming up. So I had to try something else. And then I still came back to it because it's just where I'm meant to be.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I've been teaching now. This is my 20th year with the school. Good. And I'm giving God praise and I'm thanking him so much because it went by so quickly.
Yes.
I mean, it's so true that when you're doing something that you love, you don't feel it. And you just, you know, it's just a wonderful thing. And I feel blessed that I'm in a position to be doing something that is in my heart.
Good. I love that. I love that. Yeah. I love that. Well, I'm from Seagrave. I'm from Grand Bahama too. Just so you know, I think I mentioned this to you.
Yeah, and I'm always, mentioned earlier. Yes, I knew your sister.
Yeah, I'm always excited when I'm talking to somebody from Grand Bahama. But the fact that we could connect from Grand Bahama and do this podcast is just amazing.
Absolutely.
But I was about to ask a question, and one of the question that I normally ask to begin the podcast. You know, we're now in the 50th year of anniversary of independence. The Bahamas, mm-hmm. right? And I normally ask the question, where have we come in 50 years in terms of the arts, in terms of the cultural development? Where have we come?
Well, I don't think we've come far enough. That's the first thing.
Okay.
There has been change, substantial change. But I don't know that I feel like it's been in the right direction. Can I say that?
Yeah, absolutely.
I think we started to focus more on what everybody else had to offer and what everybody else could bring to us, as opposed to what we are all about, being proud of ourselves and taking ourselves to them also. I mean, it's okay to exchange culture. It's okay to exchange anything, really, because we're not on this world by ourselves.
Right.
But I think what we need to do is appreciate who we are and what we have. And just as we are happy to bring somebody else in to teach our children, we should be just as happy to go and teach other children about us.
Right. Absolutely. Absolutely. I completely agree with that. How are you managing... I know that during the pandemic, during the beginning of the pandemic, all the schools had to close down. We had to resort to teaching via Zoom, which some of the students did not like. We lost a lot of students. Have you returned back to normal? Are things normal?
Oh,
back
yes.
Yeah.
Things are back to normal. We're doing the pandemic, the online classes. I personally didn't even like them because I'm a hands-on teacher.
Right.
Very hands-on, which I think is important because, I don't know, to me, dance is just a hands-on thing. It's just not something you can teach over. And if the person has experience, if a student is in advance, I think they could probably just do an online dancing. But for students that are learning, that hands-on experience is very, very vital.
Right. I completely concurred. We lost a lot of our kids during that period as well, but the fact that some kids did not like it. And like you, I am also a hands-on teacher. And we did our best, but we are slowly, our kids, our kids are slowly coming back into, coming back to the school. But how's dance being received in Grand Bahama? I left Grand Bahama many, many years ago. And so I think I've been back there, with regard to dance. I've been back there twice. I brought the national company in there twice. I think I was in 1997 or 8 or something like that. And then the next time it came back was in 2005 or something like that. But how is dance in Freeport? I mean, what's the atmosphere like? What is the feeling? Are there many schools? Are there lots of dancers being trained? Or do you have all the students? Is Missila still operating?
No, Missila's closed. I think her daughter is still doing something on a small scale. And of course, you have Bahamas Dance Theater, Julian Colley and Rosalind Colley. They're still here. Mm-hmm. And I think there's another, as a church group that also has a small gathering of dancers. But the thing is, you have to realize with Grand Bahama, we've lost a lot of population
right
during the years with the storms and closing of some of the major industrial companies. So we've lost a lot of people. And so we're dealing with a smaller community. The thing is, to me, the atmosphere in Grand Bahama right now is we have a lot of young students.
Okay.
They're from the I take students from the age of 4 and to, you know, take them to teenagers when they graduate from high school. And I find that the lower levels, I've had to turn people down.
Planet Fitness has everything you need to start strong, so you can give everything you've got. From plate-loaded strength equipment and functional training areas to treadmills, stair climbers, and free weights. Our equipment is best in class, and our clubs are right around the corner, so you can make this your strongest year yet. Join the club today and save $28 or more when you join for $1 down, $15 a month. Cancel anytime. Deal ends Friday, January 9th. Are you coming? Planet Fitness. We're all strong on this planet. See club for details.
But my teenage level is much smaller. Mm-hmm. And I think, of course, it has a lot to do with, you know, teenagers that have danced. Kids that have been dancing with you from they were like 4 years old, and then they become 12, 13 years old, and now they want to, you know, be more social, and they want to do things that they want to do rather than being conformed to a dance class like they have been done all those years. But I think the unfortunate thing about that is, and what I try to explain to the parents is, yes, they may feel that way, but you've invested so much time and money into them over the years, becoming a better dancer, perfecting this craft, that now is not the time to let them have their way and stop. Mm-hmm. This is where you put your foot down and you say to them, look, you've been doing this, you're going to do this. Right. And when they get to the level of high school, then fine. College, if they want to quit, that's fine. But I think they should be made to stay in dance class. Do you find it that way over there in NASA, that you have more students in the lower levels than in the teenage level?
Yes,
or you're
absolutely.
They actually fade away. Now sometimes they go into different sports like track and field or soccer or whatever the case may be. That is, you know, that's sometimes the case also. But I find that a lot of them just quit because they want to be going to the social events and, you know, dance on Saturday all day. And so they can't go to the social events if they have to come to class on Saturday all day, and all this sort of stuff. So I think our parents need to understand that teenagers need to be focused. And if you've been sending them to dance for so long, now is not the time to let them have their own way and go and do what they feel like doing.
It's rather disheartening, right? When you spend so many years trying to prepare a child, and just when you're about to get to the tip of that hill, mm-hmm. they decide
that peak,
and they pull that on you, right? We experience that a whole lot. And
yes, and the thing is, they become your children.
Yeah.
So you feel that because you see the talent, you see the potential, mm-hmm. and you know, it just like they just get thrown to the wayside. And I just can't understand. My daughter always says to me, "Mommy, you have to let the people do what they want to do with their children." Mm-hmm. But they become my children though, mm-hmm. having them from 3 years old. Mm-hmm. I mean, they become mine.
Yeah,
as well.
Absolutely. I know about that. You know, yeah, I know about that. I know that very well. Yeah. I know about spending time with these children and watching them actually grow right in front of your eyes, and going through some of the things, the growing up pains that they go through, So yeah, I do understand that very well. Do you understand? Do you think that persons? Well, I'm not talking about only Freeport, but generally, do you think persons understand what it takes to actually create a dancer, to train a dancer, to produce a dancer? Do you think they have any idea or any appreciation for it?
Unfortunately, Robert, in the Bahamas, I can speak from my experience, dance is a social event. Mm-hmm. It's someplace to take the children after school a couple of days a week, mm-hmm. or on Saturday. And you have your dance recital and you're happy. Oh, the pretty costumes. Oh, yeah, da, da. And that's pretty much the extent of the parental involvement.
Right.
They don't see it as something that can actually be a career for their child.
Uh-huh.
They don't see it as something that just like a student has to train in track and field, and they have to train consistently, very hard, and everything has to become more and more intense as they go along. Dance is pretty much the same thing, but I don't think we get the respect that the track and field athletes get. I don't know if it's because we haven't had very many dancers go off and become. But that's not even true, because we've got Miss Courtney Spears is her name.
Yeah, Courtney Celeste Spears, yeah.
We've got Courtney. She's doing excellently well. She's come back. She's brought it back to the Bahamas. She's been teaching during the summertime. Like you say, my kids attended a workshop that she was a part of with the Alvin Ailey group, and they loved it. They absolutely. I even have a student right now. She's in school in Florida, mm-hmm. and her dream is to become an Alvin Ailey dance student.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
She's determined, and she's doing everything that she can to get into that arena. But of course, it's not an easy thing to do.
Right.
Money is usually a factor with her, because you know her mom is a single mother, and so when Amelie comes down to Florida, and if it's not in the area that she's in, getting her to that place, having a place to stay, paying for the classes, it's just been a bit much. But I'm trusting God that He's going to make a way for her.
Well, you know, Well, I don't want to preempt this, but I think Courtney is moving back home in some time during the summer, so she will be available. I have not really spoken to her, but she has posted it actually that she will be returning home.
I saw that.
Right. Yeah.
I saw that.
Yeah, but it is. I think personally, I think we are where we are now in terms of dance and dance education. And I think it's the fault of the practitioners themselves, the dancers, the teachers, and all that. A lot of persons mm-hmm. are in this for just to make a couple of dollars, and not for the bigger picture of what it could do for the country, in so many different ways. You know, educationally, the opportunities that it can provide if a student is serious. I mean, look at it right now. We have two huge complexes. They just opened a baseball field. They have two track stadiums here in Nassau. All right. Mm-hmm. And that's mm-hmm. because the persons in that area who represent that area and track and field and baseball, they agitated. They were there. They made themselves available.
Mm-hmm.
I feel that dancers are dance teachers, the practitioners. Either they don't understand or they're just completely selfish. We haven't agitated for anything. I mean, recently they just closed the National Dance School, and it really means nothing to nobody, you know?
So they really did? I didn't even know that.
The National Dance School has been closed now, going on about 4 years now. It's actually closed. And that school opened in 1976. It would have been, the school was been existing now for like, what, 45 years.
And why did they close it though?
Well, it's a lot of, I would think it's part of it is politics and persons not having any understanding or interest in this particular aspect of art, or people just...
Isn't that sad?
It's always...
Isn't that sad?
And in this country, it's always the politician it's always the politician. So we are reaping what we have sown. We have actually sown nothing, and so as a result, we will reap absolutely nothing if we don't change the trajectory of this whole thing.
I agree.
So I don't know what we're gonna do. I know, like, of late, I've started to bring some of the kids from Freeport. I don't know if you have any kids at your school that might be interested, but I'm bringing a couple of the kids here because we have a national company that has existed from 1992. And like one of my guests said that, you know, everything seemed to be Nassau-centric. You know, you say National Dance Youth Choir and everybody's from Nassau. You say National Dance Company and everybody's from Nassau. And I'm saying, no. A couple of years ago, I started to bring people in that you know, like Michael Miller, who's deceased now, Michael Higgs, Shar Goldsmith. I brought in Julian Cawley and Karen Bain. All these kids have actually come in to Nassau to perform with the company. And so I've started that process again. And so, I would like to really tie Grand Bahama back into the National Dance Company. Now, it's a very expensive undertaking. But you know, we're constantly asking for funds to bring them in. We have to bring them in, and we have to find some place for them to stay. We have to purchase a ticket. Sometime we're able to have families that can help us out while they're here. But I think it's necessary that we not only focus on Nassau, we focus on Freeport, Abaco, any island that we can find.
Just make the opportunity available to any Bahamian student that is in a position to partake of the opportunity.
Absolutely.
You know?
So that is my goal right now, since we're getting ready for independence, and we know that we're going to be asked to do certain things, you know. So I would like to involve kids from Grand Bahama so that In 20 years, they too can talk about the experience. They too, in 50 years, they too can talk about the experience.
Like how you have the experience of dancing on Clifford Park for independence.
Tell us about that.
Oh wow, that was awesome. You know what I really liked about it more than anything else is like that was the first time all the dance schools that were in existence, Alex Abim, Shirley Hall Bass.
Hubert
and,
Farrington.
Mr. Farrington. I think that was the only three at the time, was it?
Yeah.
Alex Beam. Yes. Mm-hmm. And we actually got to perform as one country, one people. And that is what resonated to me as a 12-year-old child at the time.
Okay.
That's an experience I will never, ever, ever forget. Never. Because it was awesome.
Yeah. Yeah,
you know, we met musicians like Natty. Natty used to beat the drums. The gentleman used to beat the drums.
Yes, Natty. Yes,
he was. You know, Mr. Farrington taught an aspect of the dance. Mr. Alex Abim's students taught an aspect of the dance. Ms. Bass taught an aspect of the dance. The musicians were there from all over, I suppose, the island. But you know, some of them I didn't really know personally. But that experience was just really a beautiful, beautiful experience. I mean, personally, 12 years old, I didn't understand the whole importance of the independence per se, but the celebration itself and what it brought to us as dancers and the camaraderie that it brought to us as dancers, it was fantastic for me.
I can only imagine. I was in Grand Bahama, so I didn't, I just heard about
okay.
it.
Okay.
Yes.
Okay.
But go ahead.
Yes, that was beautiful. I oh my goodness. I can remember just about everybody that I could see it right now dancing on the stage and then going down onto the field. It was really fantastic. I'm only saddened that, you know, normally when they show pictures of the independence back in 1973?
Yes.
That you don't see much of the dancing part of it.
Right. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But I suppose those things have gotten lost along the way.
Well, you know something? I remember hearing something, and it might be...
Planet Fitness has everything you need to start strong, so you can give everything you've got. From plate-loaded strength equipment and functional training areas to treadmills, stair climbers, and free weights. Our equipment is best in class, and our clubs are right around the corner, so you can make this your strongest year yet. Join the club today and save $28 or more when you join for $1 down, $15 a month. Cancel anytime. Deal ends Friday, January 9th. Are you coming? Planet Fitness. We're all strong on this planet. See club for details.
Untrue, but somebody told me that some time ago they went to Florida where I guess lots of stuff were archived and they found some stuff actually. So, but
really?
But I've never seen it. I just heard about it. I'm not calling the name of the person that actually.
Told I understand?
Me. Yeah. They worked at the Ministry of Tourism at that time as well.
Okay.
So they found all this, this footage of independence, et cetera. So yeah, it's I'm hoping that our students, our kids, can have that experience for the next 50 years. I would like to see so many things happen here because I think Bahamians have so much to offer. I mean, not only in track and field and all those other things, but
right.
I think Bahamians are. I personally, and I say this and I repeat this and I preach this all the time, I think Bahamians are, if not the smartest people in the world, they are among the smartest people in the world. And like we say,
talented as well.
Right? And like we say in the Bahamas, the whole and entire world. Right?
Yeah.
You know? So, yeah. So, you know, I think that is important. But so in my last podcast, I spoke to, I was talking to three young ladies, and we kind of covered a lot because, you know, I mean, Tea and Talk is basically, you know, we conversate, we talk, I ask questions, you answer them, you can ask me questions, you know, we're basically having a conversation. But we had talked about folk dancing, and again, prior to that, I talked to somebody who believed that we should not really focus on classical training. We should just focus on the folk and that's it. Forget the classical training. And so I wanted to get their opinions of that. But before they were able to express their opinion, I just wanted to say something to them. And what I said to them was that we talk about folk dancing, but a lot of our folk dancing is not codified. It's not codified. It's not really, it's nothing that have been, nothing was created. Like you go in some African countries or some Caribbean countries, or for example, let's talk about Jamaica. I always use Jamaica as an example, where I learned about the Maroon people through Rex Nettleford. They went into the mountains and they developed these dances of brucking and kumina and all these different dance styles that they brought in. And so they teach, when you talk about kumina or talk about brucking, they know exactly what that is.
Mm-hmm.
They even have the dance steps to represent that. They even have sequence of dances that they can do. Now you go to some other countries, they have dances that have lasted for hundreds and hundreds of years. Things have evolved in years. I mean, people, things have changed. I mean, we went from plain African music with the drums to this now Afrobeat and stuff like that.
Right.
So things have evolved. But a lot of our stuff, like heel and toe poker, quadrilles, all that stuff, nothing has happened. And when we codify something, we codify it in a way that we take the idea of heel and toe poker. We create something and it's passed from generation to generation to generation. So when somebody says, what is the heel and toe poker? And we're able to present the heel and toe poker.
Right.
I think the closest to that I've seen is from Cat Island with Ozzy King the Cat Island Mites who've actually... who did that? And apparently, they were doing that from children. But the Ministry of Culture tried many years ago to have Ozzy King. I think he's probably passed now. But to have
he's
him
deceased.
To have him come in and teach the quadrille. But we have not really created anything that goes from generation to generation to generation.
Right.
What has happened is that. People are aware of the conch style. People are aware of a heel and toe poker. People are aware of quadrilles. And what they do is they make this stuff up. To me, I think makes no sense. If you can do heel and toe poker, do heel and toe poker. Don't do heel and toe poker and then put conch style in it and something else in it and say it's heel and toe poker because it's not. So what is your opinion on that? Before I get to the next aspect.
I'm all about versatility.
Okay.
Let's be real. I'm absolutely about versatility. I don't think that, like I say, none of us are islands. We are meant, I think the God intention was that the world would would come together in positive ways, nobody diluting the other person per se, but we come together and we learn from each other so that we can become bigger as people, right, as a world. Mm-hmm. And so when it comes to dance, I feel like versatility is extremely important. Yes, I think the classical dance training is necessary, and it also helps, because if our children are going to go abroad to become dancers, or even just to be trained, there's a certain level of classical that they need to be aware of. Otherwise, they're going to get left behind, or they're going to be discouraged. So you can't just say, oh, we don't have to teach the classical. Yeah, we do have to teach the classical basics. Classical basics. Now, if you don't want to take a kid into pointe shoes, fine. But they should know the basic level of classical ballet, because it's, to me, it's a basis of everything else that they do.
Right.
It provides, you can see a child, like, just for example, let's use the heel toe poker. A child that does the heel toe poker that doesn't have dance training will look completely different from a child that has dance training, absolutely, has the right posture, you know, and when they do a heel toe poker. So it enhances what we do. And that's how I feel. I think versatility is very, very important. I would love to learn the Jamaican folk dance. I would love to learn Chinese folk dance. I would love to learn Indian folk dance. I'd love to learn all of them. I'd love my children to have the experience of learning all of those things. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm, mm-hmm. You know, it's a learning experience. Life is a learning experience.
Absolutely.
You know, when we play music, we don't just play Bach music. We play Beethoven, we play whoever, all these other people, you know, you play everybody's music. Mm-hmm. So why can't we do everybody's dance if we have the opportunity to do that?
Mm-hmm. Well, I mean, it's fine to do everybody's dance, but not to take it on as our own.
Oh, no, that's not right. What I'm talking about. Right. I'm not talking about taking it on as our own. No, absolutely.
Right.
Like I was saying, they give to us and we give to them.
Right. Well, so, that's it's you learn from it. It's a learning process.
Absolutely.
I think when you stop learning is when you die. But classical ballet to me provides the tools that a dancer needs. And if our dancers are going to compete, they need to study classical ballet.
Absolutely.
Now folk, and in terms of our folk dancing, I think that I think that it needs to be developed. It haven't been developed. I think since Zabine and prior to that, Ms. Bass and the rest of everybody that tried to create something, nobody has done anything. I know Alex Zabine, for example, did some research on dance here in the Bahamas. And basically, mm-hmm, a lot of the steps that we do to this day are based on some of the things that he set. Madame Lavinia brought a lot of stuff here too. And so she brought a lot of stuff here, and people do not know where to draw the line. A lot of stuff that she brought here was based on her experience in the Caribbean. Example, she brought a lot of stuff from Haiti, because when she followed her teacher, who was Catherine Dunham, and she moved and she went to Haiti as well to actually study the dances of Haiti. And she moved around the Caribbean from Guyana to Jamaica. She moved around the Caribbean, and she also learned stuff there. But when she came here in 1976, about 75, 70, in 76, to establish the National Dance School, she brought a lot of stuff in. She brought in the Yova Lu. She brought in the Igbo. She brought in the Linyan. She brought in a lot of stuff. She brought in the stick dance. She brought all that stuff in from stuff that's already established, that was already established in those countries.
Right.
And so for us, we need to do the same thing here in the Bahamas, establish our own stuff. So, because the thing about it too, a lot of our stuff have a lot of similarities of some of the stuff that people do around, like conch style. She said that the conch style looks like something in Haiti called the mazoon, you know? So I just think
that the history of dance is something that I myself personally have not ever had a class in dance history per se. Now, Jillian Springer, who was also a dancer of Shirley Hall Bass, she was just one of the teenagers that we looked up to as children growing up.
Mm-hmm.
And she's very knowledgeable about dance history. So I basically feed off her for the most part.
Okay.
But like you say, with our folk dance, the only folk dance that I know is what we did as children.
Mm-hmm.
I can remember the routines to this day. And in fact, I'm teaching the routines to my children as we speak, because we're doing a Bahamian play that I've written called A Bahamian Tale. Mm-hmm. And it is absolutely Bahamian from head to toe, straight through, right down to choreography, mm-hmm. right down to music, right down to acting, the script, even the music that I'm using. I have a dance in there by the Chikchani. That's a part of the production as well. And that music that I'm using is something that was composed by Mr. Justilian, because Chris. I wanted it to be all Bahamian. Yes, Chris, he was so generous. He was so gracious. I'm so grateful to him. And so I'm trying to bring the pride of what we are and who we are. And I'll be honest with you, Robert, I thought it was going to be like pulling teeth. Mm-hmm. These children are absolutely enjoying this. You hear me? They're enjoying this experience.
Good.
And I'm so grateful. And it shows me that it's not that our children won't love who they are and won't appreciate their culture. We, as a generation, have dropped the ball, and we've walked away from it, and we've taken on other people's stuff and totally disregarded our own.
Right.
And I'm like, how is God going to bless us if what He's given us we don't appreciate?
You're
we
right.
have to appreciate our own things first. We have to be just as happy to go and say, okay, Mr. Robert Bain, can you come to Freeport and teach a summer workshop, as I am to say, go and ask somebody from Chicago to come and teach the children. You should be the person I should call in first
right.
to come and teach our children.
Yeah.
And then we could branch out.
Right.
You know, but we do the opposite. We think that everything is so much better than what we are. And we disregard our own things. And we just stop that. And I'm determined that if only for however long the Lord gives me the ability to teach dance and to be a part of these children's community, that I am going to let them and teach them to understand and appreciate who they are as Bahamians, what they are as Bahamians.
There you go. There you go. Well said. Well said. We have a lot of work cut out. I have a book coming out in April. You said that you,
okay.
the history, it took me about 18, almost 20 wow. years to actually write.
Wow.
I felt the need to at some point in one podcast, I'll talk about it a bit more in depth. But I find that we have a lot of persons that contribute, like Ms. Bass, Mr. Farrington, Mr. Zabin, some persons have passed on. Nobody talks about them anymore. It's like they never existed.
Right.
And so I wanted to see if I could begin a process. It's not the end-all, be-all book. Basically, it's just something to start a narrative, to start something. And hopefully what I found will inspire somebody else to even dig a little deeper. You know, but we
yes.
can be living.
I'm already interested in reading the book.
Well, the University of, they're waiting on it. It should be out in April.
Okay, I'll look for it.
Yeah, it'll be out in April. And there are other books too that I've written that I will work on a bit further to get it out as soon as possible, like a book for high school and senior high school. We need workbooks. I've done other research and stuff like that. Hopefully in future it'll come out. But we need to do more of that. we need to do more stuff like that so that people will think that we're serious. People don't think that we're very serious. I remember Winston Saunders, he used to always ask the question, why are we so barbaric to each other? Why don't we treat each other better? We are intelligent beings. We are very intelligent
yes.
beings.
Yes.
To be able to create, to do, which I see you do some amazing work down in Grand Bahama. You do some massive stuff. I've seen your promos for your Lion King or something dealing with the Lion King.
Circle of Life.
I've seen the ads for things that you've done, you know, and I said, Jesus, she goes large, you know. But, you know, that is what we need, and I wish more persons would actually do that. And I think you are just, you're doing what you were taught, and you're doing what you
right.
were exposed to. And,
right, the performing arts. It's not just dance, but a performing arts.
Right. You're doing what you were exposed to through Ms. Bass. And,
absolutely.
Yeah. And so that is a wonderful thing. And we need to, when we think about dance and passing it on, we need to think the same way of these young people coming up, that they can do the same thing. But as long as I have breath in this little body that God has given me, I will continue to talk about dance because it is important. It has its place, and we need to let people know exactly where it belongs, because it's not only it goes beyond the performing arts. And we start talking earlier about the children that is affected by it. And when you affect that child, you're not only affecting them in physical ways, but you are affecting them in emotional ways. You're creating very
spiritually, emotionally, everything they could possibly need. And not only that, the confidence that is developed in a dance student that I see, I don't know if it's a gift, but I have found that I get students that come in, they are very sheltered, very closed in. And through dance and through communicating with them that they have an ability to be so much more than they are letting themselves be, that the confidence that is developed in these children, it blows my mind. Even like when we do productions and I choose a student to play a particular part, and you know, the other parents, you know, because the parents, they would notice other people's children, they'd be like, but she's so shy, how you could pick her to be that? And let me tell you, Robert, by the end of the production, they'd be like, oh my goodness, didn't know that was in her.
Yeah.
But that is what it's all about, isn't it?
Yeah. Yeah. Absolutely.
That's what it's all about.
You know, back in the day, parents of old, if I could say it that way, they introduced their kids to dance, to the arts, because they were so aware of the benefits of it.
Absolutely.
You know,
sense of community.
Exactly.
The sense of acceptance.
Exactly.
You know, the sense of encouragement. You know, when a student in you know, I emphasize this so much in my school, is like when you have a natural ability to do something and somebody is struggling with that, you don't think yourself better than them. You think yourself as blessed, and you do your best to try and help that person as much as possible.
Yes.
Because the last man is the man that everybody's going to see. So we want everybody on the same level.
Right.
All the older students, those are your little sisters. They look up to you.
Right.
You have to conduct yourself as a lady. You have to show them how you care about each other. When there's a conflict, you have to learn how to sensibly and intelligently dissolve that conflict. Because the most important thing is that when we're in a position to be together, God has made that position possible.
Yes.
You didn't bring yourself here.
Absolutely.
You are here for his reason. So you have to look at that as, you know, why am I here? Must be a good reason for me to be here.
Yes.
And let me make the best of this experience, make the experience as good as it can be for the people around me, and become a community.
Yes.
So that we can be the best that we could possibly be together.
Yes. Georgia, this conversation it's amazing. We need to do this again very soon. I think it's just so much that we need to share. I also said in one podcast is that we personally need to start doing stuff to pull people into our web. That's how the people in sports have been able to actually do it. We need to educate people. We need to do podcasts like these. We need to put up subliminal messages that people know that we exist, create TV programs to know that we exist. We need to actually take this in our hands, and not put it in somebody's hands who that we have to depend on. We need to do these things by ourselves, because
they're not going
to
do it.
They're not going to do it.
They're
full of talk. They're full of talk, right?
Absolutely.
So we need to do this by ourselves so that we can get some results, and hopefully somebody will get to notice that we actually exist. And so we need to educate them, find, ways to educate public, the general public. We're doing, the National Dance Company is actually doing a concert in May. And one of the things that we want to do is that the first night of the concert, we want to make it a free concert for the public. Right? Because we think it's important that people see. And so we can't talk. We need to actually show people exactly what we are talking about. So we're going to do that. Before we end this program, I'd like to say that if you wish to advertise on this program, you get an ad read or sponsor the whole program, you can actually reach me at tandtalk2023.bahamas@gmail.com. Okay, that's tandtalk2023.bahamas@gmail.com. Now, Georgia, before we end this program, you've said once a bunch of wonderful things. We have to do this again. You are feisty boy.
I am, but I'm even trying to be.
Yes, you are feisty.
That's the passion in it. You know. People be like, oh my goodness, so she don't hold back. I don't know how to hold back.
No.
I'm a dancer.
Yeah. Okay. All right.
You know, as a dancer, you're told not to hold back. Just
right.
Give it your all.
Yes.
And that is just my personality on the whole.
Yes.
I mean, nothing by it. I'm when I'm passionate about something, the energy in my body just controls me and it takes over.
Yeah.
And that's what happens.
Yeah. Well, I really appreciate that. And like I said, this program for me is to talk to people of like mind. And I am pretty much the same as well. And everybody, you don't have to ask what I'm thinking. I'm going to tell you what I'm thinking.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
We don't have time for the misunderstanding.
No.
You know?
No. Too old for that.
Before
we end the program, though, Georgia, I always ask my guests the question I ask them, quite simply, to you, what is Bahamian?
My Bahamian, to me, Bahamian is community. Bahamian is caring. Bahamian is growing. Unfortunately, we growing, but we've grown away from who we are. And I want to change that.
Yes.
Because we are caring people. We are people that are, like you said, we are very intelligent, we're very smart, and we're very talented.
Mm-hmm.
And so I think that now our Bahamas now has to become a country of people that bring everything that they have, the best that they have, together so that we can develop and share ourselves so that the world can see us for more than just a tourism destination.
Yes.
Because we are so much more than that.
Much more than that. Absolutely.
Much more than that.
Yes, we are. Yes, we are. And God lives here.
So absolutely.
Just wanted
vacations,
to...
darling. Vacations.
Come.
Hello.
Yes, come. Yes. Well, Georgia, it's been like amazing to talk to you.
Same here.
And we need to do this again. And hopefully when it's done again, I will probably be in Freeport with this equipment. And then we could do it. We could really sit down and have a tea, have a cup of tea. And,
that would be fun. You can really have some tea. You can have your soursop and I can have my mango leaf.
See, that's what I'm saying. Yeah, that's what I'm saying. I have my mango leaf as well. There you go. So until the next time, until we hook up again, Georgia.
Looking forward to it.
It was so good to talk to you. And thank you for your contribution. And we should talk very soon.
My pleasure. Absolutely. I'm looking forward to it.
You are listening to Tea and Talk.
You're listening to the podcast Tea and Talk.
The views and opinion expressed in this podcast are those of the hosts and guests and do not necessarily reflect the views or positions of any entity or organizations.